For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back once again with some non-leagueness for you all to enjoy. And this week, it's like a schoolroom reunion too. In the studio with me, a man who is having one of his best seasons in a long, illustrious career. It is Chertsey Town manager Dave Anderson. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I say morning because it is before lunchtime, but it's a horrid rainy day.
Yeah, it's miserable. We were recording Wednesday. The Gulf's been blown out, and so I'm not a happy camper, you know.
You're not a happy camper in the, you know, the tail of the day, but
yeah.
Football-wise, you're having a very
yeah,
nice season.
Yeah, it's going really well. I'm always really wary of saying how well it's going when it's going well, but it'd be hard to deny it when we've sort of taken 28 points from 10 games. The league games is really good return. We won last night away at Redhill 4-1, and I thought we were really clinical in the game. I'm playing some really, really decent football. But I keep saying to the guys, I've told the players, you better understand the rules of golf, because I use them quite a lot in the dressing room. I basically said to them, listen, you're 3 under after 9 holes. You could finish 3 under or you could finish 10 over. So, you know, don't get carried away with it. We're all very pleased with where we are, but the next one's the most important one. Hit the reset button. That's my new saying.
So have you got a decent caddy alongside you?
Yeah, I have. Well, yeah, staff, Steve Hawkins, Ollie's dad, who's no stranger to me or you, and Mickey Bennett, who I've known a long time, who was at Brentford coaching the sort of younger kids at Brentford, but has sort of given that up to come and be involved with senior football. And obviously Kev McLaren, who's no stranger to non-league football, is captain Hendon in a couple of playoffs, played for Kingstonian. He's like a player coach, so I'm not stupid. I've got that's where the brains is. I'm just the mouth, you know.
But you seem to be enjoying it again. Is that life come back into Mr. Anderson?
Yeah, well, I as I said to the guys at the weekend, I nearly enjoyed it. You know, it's a real funny thing asking a manager if he enjoys it, because I think the ones that say yes are telling lies. But it's hard not to enjoy what we've did over the last couple of games, especially last night, which was quite a frantic game, and you know, intimidating is the wrong word, but people have to set their teams up how they want, and I felt they wanted to get in our face, and we spoke about it before the game, and the lads really just were completely disciplined, and everything we've put to them, they did all right, except for the FA Cup, as I said before, where we get stuffed. But it's nothing. It's good, but we've done nothing yet, and we're all very aware of that as well.
And now, I mentioned your illustrious career as a manager at the opener there, but your illustrious career as a goalkeeper prior to that. Did you ever score a goal from playing in goal?
I did, actually. I did for the school. Probably younger people don't know what I'm talking about, but the all-weather pitches with a force 10 behind me, it bounced once it went in. So I always remember that. I was about 14, I suppose. But I've seen the one...
Darren Abraham scoring for Dartford at the weekend.
Which is a proper strike, you know. So, but no, mine was nowhere near as good as that, you know.
But it's always good to see a goalkeeper scoring like that rather than coming up as a manager, I would have thought, in the 99th minute when he comes up for the corner.
Well, if he comes up for the corner, you know, you're under, you know, obviously, listen, you're not winning 1-0 if he's coming up for a corner in the 90th minute. You're obviously looking for an equaliser. I think that it's one of them. I've never been a great lover of it, but there has been times, maybe once or twice, not many more times than that, where I've allowed it to happen. Where if you are sort of goal down and it's a game where you feel you may as well lose it 2-0 as 1-0. And sometimes it just throws everyone, because, you know, at senior level, they would have jobs to do and people to pick up. But nobody on their tactics board will have you pick the goalkeeper up when he comes up. So it can just unnerve defences in that last sort of throws of the game, you know.
And obviously last weekend, non-league day, and it looks like it went down very well. And I haven't seen any attendances yet, but it certainly It wasn't the greatest Saturday afternoon weather wise, but
No, it wasn't. But I think it did. I mean, when I looked at some of the crowds through the National League, that they were big. You know, that they were Salford and people like that who are pulling good crowds now. Anyway, but yeah, I think it's a big thing. I think that we need to keep at it and keep publicising it and you know, there'll be people. Funny enough, we had our biggest crowd of the season, albeit it was an FA Vaz game, but we had our biggest crowd of the season, and you know, hopefully they enjoyed the game. And listen, if five of them come back, it's
well. That's it. It's great to have extra crowds on non-league day, but clubs can't survive if they just get extra fans through the gate once a year.
No, they don't, and I always hope that they come in and see that this is the real football. And as we've said here before, you go to the Premier League, it costs you probably £50 for a ticket and £10 for a burger and £14 for a pint. And the closest you get to the people is if you're in the front row and you can scream and shout at them. You come to non-league, I think it's £7 or £10 in. It's £2 for a pie and £3 for a pint. And you can talk to the players and the management in the bar after the game. And they'll make mistakes, you know, because they're not perfect. The pitches aren't perfect. And for me, it's a much better spectator sport. Don't get me wrong, the guys at the top level are probably too good now. You know, everything's too good. That might sound really ridiculous, but the pitches are too good. The centre-halves we have at the top level now could have been central midfielders 15 years ago. That's how good it's progressed. But it's too good, you know. I like it with a bit of flaw in it, you know.
Well, I saw some comments on social media after the England game midweek, and they were suggesting that England's display, certainly in that first half, was so good that it meant that the talk shows had nothing to talk about post match. And yeah, one thing that we do get to talk about at non-league is those flaws.
I missed the England game. I was watching my own country who were very unlucky away in Bosnia, and so I got to see England's goals. But listen, there's always something to talk about. I just think some people like talking negative, and on that note, you know, I was on here last week talking about how poor the officials were. I'd have to say the referee we had last night was a young referee. I should have got his name, and took charge of a fiery game, a game that was that was fireworks, you know, and was really good. I went in to see him at half time. He'd give us a penalty where their lad had sort of, I thought, saved it. So I went in and asked him, you know, how did he see that? And that's how, I wasn't screaming and shouting. He just says, talk me through that. And he gave me his explanation, and it was a reasonable explanation. And I said to him, you know, I'm glad you're in charge of the game, because you're going to need to have big round things to look after this game in the second half. And I think he had them, and he was, whilst I was negative about him last week, I think there is a couple of young referees that I'm going to get his name, because I think he'll be one that will progress, you know. But so that's the positive after the negative last week.
No, that's good to hear, because in the coming weeks, hopefully we'll be speaking about the difficulty in recruiting referees and officials. You know, it's not a job that we'd really want to do. When you retired from football before you came back into it,
yeah,
I didn't see you stepping forward and going off to do a referee's course. Not even get paid £30 on a Saturday afternoon.
Not even for a five-a-side at the golf club am I refereeing it. Not a chance. I don't know how they do it. I've always said that, as much as they argue with them and debate their quality, I think you have to be, one, you have to love football, two, it's a brave thing to do, especially at the lower levels. And, you know, I think they would agree and understand that they're always going to live in a world where people are going to question decisions. But I do think we need to give them all the support that we can, so that they're not physically abused, certainly, which can happen at lower levels, and not intimidated. And that goes back to the whole thing where I don't think players should be allowed to crowd them out. And I think it should be just down to one one person, the captain, maybe can question a result. And I think that's things that the FA should look at, you know.
Yeah, well, there was one incident, I know, over at Oxy Jets, the visiting side there last weekend. I think the game was abandoned.
Yeah.
An incident with a referee, which didn't sound good. And as I say, hopefully we'll be talking to some of the referees groups in the coming weeks and seeing what they suggest that the FA could be doing. And also fans as well, because we all like to get on the back of a referee. But maybe sometimes that's not the best thing.
Well, I think fans pay their money, and I think referees and managers and players are like, sometimes I think they have a liberty with some of the things they say to you, but I've always tried to take it that, you know, that if I'm in a dugout, what's behind me is irrelevant. You know, it's what's in front of me, which is the football pitch. And I think referees can sort of get on with that. But I do think that, you know, anything that causes a game to be abandoned because of an incident or so any sort of encroachment on stuff like that, I think that they have to come down like a ton of bricks on people. And the other one just on that was I seen a clip on Twitter of the England game, and I don't know the two players, but the England lads running with the ball, and the Spanish player feigns as if he's been elbowed in the face. And it's from the camera angle, it's obvious that he's cheating. You know, I put it on Twitter myself if anybody wants to have a look at it. And for me, you know, it has to, I don't mean deal with it. It needs to be, he needs to be banned for 6 months because it's the lowest form, isn't it? Absolute cheating. And it's something that we've banged on about, well, I have for years, that we need to get out of our game. It's a real cancer of the game, this sort of feigning and diving and injuries. Just it's just an absolute nonsense to the people who invented football and who have played it over the years.
Yeah, it stops the flow, and it just denigrates the whole game, doesn't it?
It's just cheating. It's not, people call it simulation, and it's nonsense. It's absolutely cheating, and I think, you know, I think football's in a reasonable place. You know, and I include non-league in that. I think we're doing okay. I know it's a miracle every week how some teams keep going. And I know we're going to talk about sides who are in trouble, but I think that's always going to be a small percentage of a big thing. But we need to protect it, and we need to protect it by getting the people at that level, the top level, where it is obvious and there's a camera angle that can show it's obvious, and hammer them. And that will feed its way back down.
Well, let's see what we can do in the coming weeks. And let's move on. Plenty to talk about. You're listening to the Non-League Football Show. Okay, so it's FA Cup weekend again. A big focus as the big boys from the National League join the competition. It is the fourth round qualifying and indeed the final qualifying round. A whopping £25,000 available to the winners, as well as that plum tie in the first round proper. As ever, there is only one man with all the answers and all the stats. Welcome back to the show at FA Cup Fact Farm, Mr. Phil Annetts.
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
I'm good. Now, this is probably the easiest round for you. Is it just 32 ties? I mean, you've had no preparation to do it. Had to do anything on this round?
Yeah, it's a walk in the park this round compared to the earlier rounds, I must admit.
A walk in the park, but plenty of stats and facts still to compile, and you've done a great job again on your website and across Twitter. Now, obviously, I think the big game that everybody's sort of focusing on, which the BBC have gone for their live streaming game, is Dunstan UTS against Gateshead. Step five, step one, local derby. It's got everything, this one.
Yeah, you couldn't have asked for a better draw for the last step five club in the fourth qualifying round. A home tie that's going to be a sellout. I think they're going to get over 2,500. Wow. So it should be the biggest crowd that they've ever had at Dunstan UTS.
Yeah, and any stats on step five ever beating step one at this level before?
Not off the top of my head. It probably has happened. I'd have to dig in deep to find that. But it's going to be a momentous achievement if they do it. They have met before, though, Dunstan UTS and Gateshead, about 23 years ago. And that was a five-goal thriller that Gateshead won 3-2 in the end. So, you know, they came close that year, so there's no fear that they might get a good go this time around as well.
They're the sort of stats that you do have off the top of your head. I'm surprised. Yeah. You must have a very big hat to keep those stats on top of your head.
To be fair, Phil, we were cheering because we got you on one, because we've been trying for about 3 years.
I'm not happy about that at all.
So what other stats and facts can you wow us with then, Phil? What else should we be talking about in the pubs, in the clubs, in the coming days?
Well, just on that, Dunstan UTS, they've had five home ties in the FA Cup this year. So if they win and get another home tie, I think I can't find anyone else ever having six home ties on the trot in one season. So that would be quite an achievement.
What a season to do it in as well, when the prize money's been doubled.
Yeah, it couldn't have been better for them. I mean, they've got a chance to be the first Northern League side into the first round since Shildon about 12 or so years ago. So there's a big opportunity for a big prize for them and a big historical achievement.
And also up the way, another big game that we've spotted is obviously Blyth Spartans against York City. Plenty of history there as well.
Yeah, they've played before in the FA Cup, a fantastic game about 40 years ago. I think they drew 3-3 in the first game. I can't remember exactly, but the replay was a 5-3 victory for York City. So if you get that kind of match again, it should be a spectacle to remember.
And moving further south, the one that intrigued me with my southwest connections, Western Supermare against Bath City. That's a tie that's got some great history if you're a Bath City fan.
Yeah, I mean, Western Supermare must have, if they knew their history, they'd have groaned when the draw came out. They played Bath City seven times before in the FA Cup. And yet to get anything, even a draw against them. So seven games and seven defeats. So a big Southwest derby could be their year. You never know. But history suggests that they could be in trouble against Bath. And there's not many head-to-heads like that end up being so one-way. So it's very unusual to have a seven-game history without winning a single time.
Where are you going to go, Phil?
Yeah, well, I put something out on Twitter to put a poll out there to see who could mobilise their fans to get me to come to their ground. And I'm going to go to one of the two all-step three ties, Hitchin versus Leatherhead.
Well, that'll be good.
Really looking forward to going to Topfield for the first time. So it should be a good day. And it's good to see that step three side will definitely be in the first round. Leatherhead, interestingly, this is a quirky fact for you. They're on their fourth FA Cup tie of the season, and every one of them so far has been against a team that begins with letter H. So they've beaten Herne Bay, Haverhill Rovers, and Hanwell Town. So Hitchin, I guess, are going to be a bit nervous about that.
Well, I'll have to get you to get some coaching notes for me as well. We've just drawn Hitchin Town away in the FA Trophy down at Hazen Yedding. Another H, but we were out of the FA Cup long before Leatherhead could have drawn us. But talking about history as well, I think we've mentioned them already this season, but Witton Albion, is it their 100th time in the competition?
Yeah, this is their 100th season, and they're going great guns. They're having a fantastic season. They've got Solihull Moors in the fourth qualifying round, and it's 23 years since the last went beyond this round, so what a year to do it if they can in their 100th campaign. That would be outstanding.
And going back to some of the facts that you told us earlier on in the season in the FA Cup as well, Kettering Town, who seem to either they don't like going to the same place twice. I know a few people that holiday like that, or maybe they just upset everybody when they go there, and then the FA have to reorganise the draw so that they don't have to go there again. But Kettering Town away at Aldershot Town, and this is their 183rd different club in the FA Cup.
Yeah, 183rd different club. And I think it's their seventh different club on the trot over the last two seasons. So somehow, I don't know how they're managing to do it. They've got the record for the most different opponents, yet every round they seem to be able to draw someone else they've never met before. They're scoring goals for fun as well. And that's another record that the club is very proud of. They've scored the most goals in the FA Cup.
Yeah, that'll be a tie that Gary Waddock and Aldershot won't relish, because I know they're not in great form. You know that they've lost a lot of players in the summer, Aldershot, but that has the potential of being an upset.
Yeah, Ketching Town got a fantastic FA Cup record of beating clubs from higher in the pyramid. So yes, they will be very nervous about that game.
And looking at the other potential upsets, the one that I was drawn to, Chorley against Barrow. Chorley at home in fine form. Barrow a step above them, but you know, not such fine form. Is that your tip for a cup set?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, at Chorley again, great guns this season, and they're at home as well, so that will be good for them. They beat them the last time the two teams met in the FA Cup 40 years ago, so they've got history on their side as well. So, yeah, if you're going to pick a cup set of the round, I think there's a very good chance there, yes, indeed.
What else have I missed from your delectable delights, Phil?
Well, you know you like the old nicknames. You're a big fan of the nicknames facing each other. Well, we've got two ties where Bluebirds are facing Magpies, and that Chorley Barrow tie is one of them. So you've got the Magpies of Chorley, you're taking on the Bluebirds of Barrow. But then down in Chippenham, you've got the Bluebirds of Chippenham who are hosting the Magpies of Maidenhead. So we're going to find out by the end of the fourth quarterfinal round which of those two birds are the better.
If only Terry Nutkins was still with us, I would have asked him for a little bit of an expert view there. But yeah, that's the magic of the FA Cup. Mm.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it sort of pulls up lots of different quirky opportunities like that to find different things that are happening between the clubs. You know, we have a few other clubs in there who've all played in FA Cup semi-finals before, who are having to, I guess, slum it in the fourth qualifying round this season.
Wow.
You've got Chesterfield there for the first time in 90-odd years, and Leyton Orient and York City, both of whom, or all three of whom, have played in semi-finals in the past.
Wow. Didn't know that.
And are you already, got your notes underway for the next round as well? The big round, which seems to attract everybody's attention.
Well, it's Sunderland's the team, isn't it, for the next round? That's the one everyone wants to try and get. A good trip to Sunderland would be fantastic. So I've had a chance to have a little bit of a look at Sunderland's stats. I think there's just seven clubs in the fourth qualifying round who've played Sunderland in the FA Cup before. So a lot of them would be dreaming for a chance to play a team like them.
I can hear the Kettering fans already looking up on the internet how to get to Sunderland. Yeah,
I don't think they've played them before, so yeah, it would be in keeping with what they've been doing recently.
Well, Phil, always fantastic to talk to you. Thank you once again for all your hard work. Where can people read more about these stats?
Well, you can go to FA Cup Fat File on Twitter or on WordPress or even on Facebook. Personally, I'm just going to go and find out the last time a Step 5 team beat a Step 1 team.
I'll be looking out for it on Twitter.
Brilliant bit.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Phil.
Yeah, you too. Cheers.
Got him. We got him. We got him. People don't understand that he is an encyclopedia, isn't he? We try and be fair with our questions, but we always go, wonder if he'll know this, and he always does, you know. But we got him. It's only taken about 3 years, isn't it?
To be fair, I normally do a lot more work and research ready for talking to Phil. But I thought he's so organised. Yeah. He'll know this.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you see,
got him.
All those preparations. It doesn't matter what you do. Yeah, every now and then.
See, it's like the FA Cup. We get upsets happen all the time, don't they? You know.
They do. But hopefully, he'll come back.
Yeah,
harder and stronger.
Yeah.
So let's talk about one of those games in this weekend's FA Cup. If it were not in the cup, this one, it would possibly be the big game of the weekend anyway. Two sides pushing for promotion at the top of the National League. After gaining promotion via the playoffs convincingly from National North, Harrogate Town have continued in a similar vein in the National League this season. Currently fourth in the table on 33 points, just a point behind table toppers Salford City. They face Wrexham in the FA Cup this weekend, who are second on 34 points. A big game then, Simon Weaver, manager at Harrogate Town.
Yeah, it's a huge game for us. We're all looking forward to it. Not the easiest of draws by any means, but at least we're at home and it'll be a big crowd at the CNG Stadium again.
And what does the FA Cup and a big game like this mean to a club like yours?
It means a lot. I mean, it can change the face of a club. Just through three rounds of the FA Cup, now we come into the competition at this stage rather than obviously last season. It would have taken a couple of more games. So the revenue gained plus the interest in the FA Cup from the local area just would mean so much to us. And so we're going all out, you know, in order to give Wrexham a good game and hopefully come through it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a grip. Looking game on paper, because obviously where both sides are, Simon. But it's one of them that if you go and you beat Wrexham, I was just saying to Tim, you've snook onto the radar up into fourth in the National. Like, you know, probably Salford, have taken a little bit of the glory because of the TV show and all that nonsense. But
yeah,
and sometimes it's nice to fly under the radar. I never mind it. I think it's good just to stay in your own bubble. But this will bring you out of that if you were to go and beat Wrexham. The boys ready for that?
Well, I mean, we'll have to wait and see. I think we've got a really good group in terms of the down-to-earth characters. We've really tried to work hard since we became full-time out for the start of last season, just to recruit on the lines of young, hungry lads topped up with a couple of experienced, good leaders that lead from the front in terms of their preparation for games and their professionalism. So I think that they've taken everything in the stride so far, and it's our job as staff to ensure that they stay in the moment if we can possibly do that. But, I mean, it is a tough game on paper, without a doubt, with their experience and their ranks, and they'll bring a good travelling support. But we're entitled to enjoy the moment as well as, you know, just... concentrate on, you know, a pressure situation if we manage to get through. But we're enjoying it at the minute.
Yeah, and you know, just that, you know, going from sort of part-time to full-time is a massive shift around in your day-to-day routine. Give us a little bit of that, how that went, how do you take a team from part-time to full-time? How does it change in our daily routines?
Yeah, well, I think the big thing for us that we proposed to go full time the year before, halfway through it, around the Christmas period. So what I did have to do was make the proposal at a boardroom in a meeting, and say, right, this is the plan, really. And it gave us 6 months in order to recruit the right characters and to actually sort the expenditure out and probably cement what the budget would be. And then once that was okayed by the board, you know, it was a strict budget, and so we couldn't go over budget. And it really did, it narrowed down our focus, yeah. And we could really concentrate on putting together a squad. And then once that was done, we could prepare our plans for pre-season and make sure that, you know, everyone was on it. And we haven't got a massive squad, and we haven't got a massive management team, but what we have got is everyone on the same hymn sheet.
Yeah, and I've spoke to other people who have done it, and they said once you get into it, and once you get into little stupid things, like if you feel one of your set pieces ain't working right, you've got loads of time. It's not like a Tuesday night where you've got to fit the whole world into your training session. You can spend time, and that side of it's much, much, much better for a squad.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's with the purpose of going full time, given us that shared purpose throughout the team, throughout the club. So we're a full time team. We've got no excuses not to do the set plays correct. Or it's about taking the excuse culture out of it for us. And so if we've got lads that are driving in happy with their roles, and we keep everything nice and simple, then we've got a chance of at least having consistent behaviour, consistent performing team. But it's great, you know, and it's a great opportunity for us all to seize, really, you know, having that time on the training ground, be able to prepare properly from day to day. And actually, we're in a nice routine now, and that might be down to us all being superstitious, but we're onto a decent run, and everything's into a routine.
And just on the, I've wrote down here game plan and sort of freedoms, my two sort of words for the next part, which you fed me into nice. That routine and that game plan, you play Wrexham in the FA Cup, will that be a different game plan than Wrexham in the league?
No. And whether that's given them too much of an insight, maybe, but I think one of the team's strengths anyway is that they do know the roles, and I don't want them driving in the car schools thinking, oh, what now? You know, what we're chopping and changing to now. Yeah. And I've made that mistake plenty of times before, but I did promise myself and I'm the assistant manager going into full-time that we'd actually go the other way and make it more and more simple so that the lads are just enjoying their drive-in rather than guesswork. And it does help, you know, when I was a player, it helps knowing your role inside out. And yes, there might be occasions where you utilise the full squad and so you freshen it up.
Yeah.
But they're only coming in to do the same job, you know.
Yeah, no, it makes it. It's funny, and I'm funny, I suppose, when you're talking about simplifying it, just at my own club, which is a million miles below where you are, but the formula is the same. I've done away with, you know, with the coaches. I said, look, don't get intricate. All these massive intricate passing drills, and you know, the players want to come in and they want a clear head and they want to have a work, get a sweat on. Now I know you've got a set up. You've got to be a little bit more technical than that. But I've sort of gone that way with it as well. But listen, it'll be a brilliant game, and I think you do get the chance to enjoy it because, you know, you are the underdogs. You are at home. It's not a tie they'll be looking forward to, other Simon, you know?
Well, I know. And the big thing is getting the home draw in front of our home support. And they have been terrific. And it's on a bit of a rapid ride, the actual fans through the door at the Harrogate base. And we know that Wrexham, when they came last time, they were superb. So it's great for the town, you know. And we just hope that we're really competitive as we have been in recent weeks. And then we can get through, but it'd be no mean feat.
You mentioned when they visited recently, it was only a few weeks ago, a 0-0 draw. Are we going to get some goals this time?
I hope so, as long as they're in the right hand. you know, it's they're pretty miserly, aren't they? I was boring my wife to death, wasn't I? You know, this morning, saying, but they hardly ever concede this lot. They've only conceded nine. And so I think that's one thing that from last week's game to this week that we're trying to say to the lads, you know, take your hand off the handbrake, you know, and in the attacking third, because they've got two strong centre halves. They're very good. If you just make it predictable and just stick it in the box, in the final third, we have to try and be creative, and therefore we have to give the lads license to sharpen it up in that and around the area.
It is the cup this weekend, so you can afford to do that. But looking at the league, is it you've lost 1 in 16, which you know it's great form, whatever division you're in. It even better form when you look that it's the National League.
Yeah, absolutely,
it's just a shame that there seem to be so many other clubs in such great form.
I know. I mean, we came from the last away result at Fleet, and it was torrential rain throughout. The lads were just all saying, where are we now in the league? Are we top spot? And I said, and I looked at them, from this high to, oh no, I said, no, we stayed put with the same position. I go, we can't believe it. But it's credit to, I think, the other teams as well. I mean, to fair to Salford, I think they won seven on the bounce, and they were a point clear, you know, and they must be thinking pretty much along the same lines, thinking, you know, they should be stretching the lead out by now, you know, considering their tremendous run. But we're happy in that group of teams, to be honest, and we're not getting carried away thinking, despite all this. And I don't think we've overachieved and, you know, in any way. I think the lads have just been really solid and consistent. So hopefully we can keep on going.
Was there an aim for this season? More than consolidation, were you aiming for those playoffs?
To be honest, the aim has been and still is to stay up. You know, it's such a big leap that we've made to go full time and then to go up. And really, we've never been there before, you know, as a club in its history. So we just had to make sure, well, we want to make sure that we retain our status. But and I guess accumulating the points as we have done has alleviated the pressure somewhat. But the more points we get on board, the more giddy, you know, we'll get. We'll just have to calm everyone down. But as if we're in the top end of the table throughout, then we're in a great place.
And listen, Sam, another four wins and you're safe, and you'll have to change your argument. You'll have to come up with something different.
I know.
But I always think as well, it's brilliant for support. Let the supporters dream, you know, let them go and dream of whatever. Obviously, as you know yourself, it's keeping the lads in the dressing room so that they don't get carried away. But you sound as if your group's capable of that.
Well, I think with the lads, as well as being a grounded bunch, they know that we want to keep the squad together, and we have done from last year. We retained 14 lads. We've already renewed some of the lads' contracts that have been on the bench, so most of them are going to be here come what may next season. So at least with that, if we do give them a bit of a roasting after a game, it's because they've underachieved in that game. But it's not right, and you're out, by the way. You know, we're going to get other people in.
Yeah,
we're backing these lads because they're good lads.
Yeah, and that's a big percentage to keep when you get any promotion in it, to keep sort of 14 out of your squad. So the old saying is, oh, they deserve the chance, but sometimes you can't go by that. You have to change for where you've gone to. But so you were comfortable coming into the season that they, obviously you've been proven absolutely correct, but when you sat down to somewhere with your staff, you knew that these lads stood a chance at the next level?
Yeah, I thought attacking wise, you know, we played a lot of football last year and scored a lot of goals. We scored 110 goals in all competitions. So attacking wise, we proved to be too good for the league below. And so I thought more than just deserved, you know, a run of games. I thought, no, I believe in these lads to be able to do well at this level. But defensively, I knew that we could concede, especially with the lack of size in the defensive unit. So we did. That's the only area we altered. Significantly. We had Liam Kitchen come in on loan at left back from Leeds, and the two centre-halves are new, and they've added a real element of steel to the team. So that has helped, definitely.
Well, Simon, we'll let you get back to full-time. I guess you got the lads in training today as well, have you?
No, they've actually been given a day off. At a hotel, my little boy's going for a swimming lesson, so let's see if he's still there when I get back from it.
it's tough at the top. We'll remind you of that when you're in the FA Cup semi-final.
Yeah, listen, good luck Saturday as well, Sam.
All right, brilliant. Well, great to speak to you, Bill. Thank you very much.
And you, take care. Thanks, mate.
All right, cheers. Bye.
That's a real... that's a real... I've just put down, he's planted a seed with me, but... Because that takes a lot of conviction to go up a level, especially into the national, and go, do you know what, this group's good enough to have a go at it. You know, it might sound the easiest thing in the world, but it's absolutely not. And the old saying, if it's not broken, don't fix it, and all that nonsense. When you go up a level, you have to look at the players at that level, you know, to compete. You know, if you're too good for the league below, then maybe if you go up, you don't need to rip things apart, you know?
It probably says a lot about the strength in Conference National as well, even more so this season.
Yeah,
that those clubs are coming straight up and well, not only competing, they're setting the pace.
Yeah. Well, and it'll be, let's get into it. Well, we're nearly at Christmas, you know, but I always judge it around Christmas once you get through that holiday period. But it's a Super League now. It's like, you know, and it's got massive names, the likes of the Orients and the Wrexhams, but someone like Harrogate and, you know, Salford, it's just a real, I think it's a real healthy division.
I thought it was nice as well that he made reference to when he was a player, the things that he learned, the things that upset him, and he's clearly, he's thinking about almost everything he's doing there.
Yeah, listen, to get to where they are in a couple of years, and to take a club from, which I've never done, but I've spoke to Terry Brown at Wimbledon about it. I've spoke to Dean Brennan a little bit about Billericay, where they're going with it. But it's not an easy thing. It changes it massively on who the players, and so to get 14 of them to buy in to go on full time is a real sort of real good plan and execution of the plan, and also sounds a bit like every manager should sound, where they're not getting carried away with anything, you know. I love that one though. Yeah, we want to stay up. That's the stopgap answer. But once you get the sort of, I think they're 3 or 4 wins away from staying up, you know.
Well, we'll look forward to replaying that back at the end of the season.
But it was a big game again, and would you say the BBC's covering it, Tim?
The BBC not covering that one. They're covering the Dunstan UTS against Gateshead. So,
okay, well, that's
which is a potential upset, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay, so now to the sad side of the game at our level, and a club in crisis. Nuneaton Borough renamed from Nuneaton Town over the summer, and seemingly on the up with the appointment of Nicky Eden as manager in the close season. They've had a difficult start to the season in National North, and last week we heard of potential financial issues at the club, which has put its future in jeopardy. To hopefully shed some light on the situation, manager Nicky Eden joins us on the line. Good morning, Nicky.
Morning.
Now, essentially, I think the issue boils down to ownership of the club. You've got Port Vale's Norman Smurthwaite owns the ground, I believe, but FA rules say you can't run two clubs. So the club's running, but nobody appears to be taking responsibility for the bills. So there's rent overdue. I believe players, yourself, are unpaid at the moment.
We're due to be paid at the end of this month, but I've been told that there's probably going to be no money available to do that. So how you deal with that? Until it happens, I'm not too sure. It's a strange situation. It wasn't what I was told when I came in the summer. You know, I was told a rough budget to work to. What they wanted, they want to stay full time. They're going to get the academy back up and running. But previous chairman Lee Thorne left and kind of disappeared. Which kind of left Norman as the stadium owner. But obviously, the money that the club did have to season ticket sales and shirt sponsorship and things like that, that's had to be used to pay the players. And doesn't last long at this level.
And obviously, you came in the summer, as you say, you were sold a dream, and then you've bought into the club. It literally, you know, passion, and as any manager in non-league, you don't do it for the money. You do it because you want to get involved and you enjoy your football. But now you're almost too embroiled in it, aren't you? You can't walk away because you're committed to it. You brought those players in, but how long can you keep going?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the club had kind of been run down a little bit last season. You know, when I came in, I'd got one player under contract because a lot of the players had left because they'd not been paid towards the end of last season. So I kind of built a squad from scratch. The budget, again, because they wanted us to be full-time, that sort of reduces your pool of players that you can choose from. And then obviously, because the budget's not massive, again, that reduces your pool of players. So we've got a young squad that put together, you know, but I brought them all in. I'd worked with quite a few of them. As the season's gone on, you know, I've managed to add a couple of experienced lads, like Carl Baker and Adam McGurk. And it seems to be, if anything, it's brought the group of players a bit closer together. And, you know, we're never going to be instant success because we couldn't go and cherry pick the best players in the league. But the players have been fantastic, you know, their attitude and, you know, the setbacks that we've had. You know, all I asked them in the summer was that they keep going, you know, never give up and keep battling away. And it seems like we're kind of turning it around on the pitch a little bit.
And to be fair, Nicky, I mean, you know, as a manager, the job's difficult enough, but without having anything added, you know, if you come in the dressing room and there's no sugar for the tea, it's a problem. But this is like big. I mean, I've wrote stuff down here like, okay, so you're full time. So it's people's wages now, as much as we don't do football for money. You've got to pay the bills in your own life. So that adds stress to everyone.
So, yeah.
So, and people will be able to, sustain that longer than others. So you must be having to juggle that in the air. Have you give it a time limit where you go, listen, if I ain't paid by then, I'm out of here?
I've not made any definite decision on that, but I think we kind of had a rough deadline that allegedly there's a new company being set up that can take over the club. That's what the league is allowing. And they wanted investors for that. And the deadline for that was this Friday before we played Bradford Park Avenue. Yeah. So I've asked the players, look, let's hang on in there till then. I suppose you could have the deadline that as soon as you don't get paid, you've got 2 weeks on that day and then all the players can walk out anyway.
Yeah.
But the things I've done, we're not full-time on the head. You can't ask players to come and drive in when there's a prospect that they ain't going to get paid at the end of the month. The problems we've had from the start, they want full-time, but there's no training ground. There's no training kit. There's no hot showers. Nothing's been done about that. And people think, I don't know whether you're being precious, but, I still play Sunday over 35s, and if the showers are cold, the lads go mad. that's just turning up on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So, my lads have had it day in, day out, week in, week out.
Yeah, but I don't... Listen, when you say precious, I don't think that's precious. I think that's a sort of... It's the least we could expect.
Really, isn't it?
Well, it is, and if you're going to set standards and you're going to do the thing properly, if they want you to do it properly, then all the things you've listed, training ground, kit, charge, is an absolute minimum. And to be fair, looking at the table, you're certainly in touch with everyone. That there's no big problem there, but I just fear for that if it goes on another 2 or 3 weeks, then people will walk, won't they? It's just nature. As much as you want to try and keep the group together, there'll be players in your team that will be enticed away by other clubs who will be able to afford to pay them.
Yeah, I've already sort of said to the lads, look, I've got no problem with you. If you want to put the feelers out, as much as you don't want the team to break up, you can't ask players to play for free when it's a livelihood. And it's not, I think we've got two players that have got jobs. They're the ones I've brought in recently. The rest of the lads are young players, they've come out of full-time football. And it was sold to them that this was going to be full-time football.
Yeah. Yeah, and just last one for me. What's the very latest you've been told? Have you been told to expect anything at any time, or... are you being left high and dry? Is anybody communicating with you on it?
Not really. Obviously, Norma's a stadium owner. And, we just haven't got an owner of the club, really. So it's up to somebody really coming with an injection of money. But it's all a bit, like a lot of times with football clubs, everything's a bit vague.
Yeah, and that's what worries me, Nicky. It's I think if you've got someone coming and going, Nicky, look, here's the situation. We ain't got that. We're doing this. That's happening next week. We hope to do. Then at least you've got something to tell the squad and the staff. But if it's a stab in the dark, then it's a big fear. You're not stupid. It's a big fear, isn't it?
I've told the players all the factors that I've got them, as soon as I've got them, that's the least they deserve, but what I don't want to do is start, speculating.
You can't.
It's just, we're going day to day at the minute, and, we had a game last night, and that's all that's the last to concentrate on, and then we've got them in Thursday, because, we've got a game against Bradford Park Avenue, and we're looking to do as well as we can and also win that game and continue our good run. But I'm not looking beyond that, to be honest.
And we had non-league day last week. We spoke about non-league day and the importance of fans rallying around non-league clubs, not just for one day of the year, but for the whole of the season. And there's been a great reaction across non-league and across football to try and help you guys out and offer some support.
Yeah, I mean, last night it was a Birmingham Senior Cup against Burton. You probably expected about 100 fans there. There's 300 turned up. You had season ticket holders paying to get in because they wanted to make some sort of contribution. So, you know, it's great, you know, but, you know, we are going to need somebody to come in with, you know, a decent... I mean, it's not massive money in terms of football, you know, even at this level. Mm. But it's got to be somebody who puts their hand in the pocket to keep the club going.
And interesting that you face Bradford Park Avenue this weekend after they themselves, I don't think they've got this new partnership going with Bradford Bulls. They've had their own issues. I think they've announced a new community interest company this week to try and keep that club growing and going, really. And it seems to be...
There is that
divide, isn't there, between clubs that have and clubs that don't.
Yeah, I think it could be the way forward. I mean, you know, I've seen quite a few clubs that we've been to at this level. I think if clubs, you know, if they're not, it's not daft and they sort of work within the means, you know, and they realise where they are and do things properly, you know, you can have a sustainable club, you know. But I think it's the ones who, you know, put
feast
a bit of cash
and fun,
in instant promotion. Yeah, instant promotion, and then somebody loses interest or the money runs out. You know, you can have, you know, I was down at Leamington the other week. It's not a massive club. It's not got a massive budget, but it's a decent place to go and watch football, have a good day out, you know. And again, you know, I know the manager there, I'm speaking to Paul. It's sustainable, you know, because they know where they are. They know what they are as a club, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Nicky, thank you for joining us. I know it can't
be easy
anyway, and then you end up doing all these interviews that can't help.
Yeah, but at the same time, Nicky, I think it's important that you're doing what you're doing, you know, and not sort of hiding behind it. I think that supporters will want to know, certainly people in the media like us want to know, and you've nothing to hide. You're just trying to do the best for the club. So, I really appreciate your honesty as well.
Yeah, well, I just have to build the kit now. Get the kit down to laundry.
Well, thank you also on behalf of everybody in non-league for your efforts and yeah, the ability still to smile for
it.
Yeah,
hang in there.
You have to.
Yeah, you do, mate.
I think you make your own luck, and you're certainly trying to make as much as possible out there. So best of luck with it.
Yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
It's scary. I mean, it just on that, I mean, we're aware as well, Thames Mead have sort of are going into receivership and basically wrapping up, you know, a team that have been around for a while. It certainly have been there, watched them go into their new ground. And, you know, Keith McMahon, who's no stranger to us, who's been on the show many times, does the Isthmian League show now, has a big association with him. And always, you know, and it's, you really do feel for it if you love your non-league and someone falls away. Unfortunately, it's always going to happen to a degree. We're hopeful that it gets less and less, but there's always going to be one or two. Nuneaton, though, you know, we would hope that they're in Conference North. It's a good level of football. It's a club that, if you're going to invest, you know, it's at a good level if you're from that area, and you would hope it would get a buyer. I think Thamesmead have been trying to do that for where they are, and I know it's affected the health of people there. I read a thing last night on sort of the people who own it, and it's like losing a member of their family. You know, it's just something that you've put a lot of time into. So from afar, we feel for them, you know, we really do, but here's hoping that Nicky Eden and Nuneaton get someone to come in. And if you listen to that and you're thinking about investing in a club, why wouldn't you put money into someone like that? Because it just sounds like a proper
Well,
person.
Also, it was good to hear that he'd brought in a team. He'd been offered this, you know, full-time, and he'd brought in the players and that. But he's been honest with them and said, we can't be full-time.
Yeah.
We haven't got this, we haven't got that. But he's still running and cut his cloth accordingly, whereas actually he could have quite easily just carried on.
And to be fair, I mean, as a younger manager, maybe I'd have hung in. Now, the wheels would be spinning. It'd be like a getaway car and a bank robbery if I was, because I'd be going, no, it's not for me. So they're lucky. They're lucky they've got him and well, they're lucky on more than one level that they've got him and not me. But one of them would be that I'm too old for all that nonsense. I want it to be what it's meant to be, you know.
Yeah, and I think also looking from a media perspective,
yeah,
there'll be lots of things written about non-league clubs going into you know overspending, doing this. You know, they look to go full time and criticising. There's always
that, yeah.
Particularly from the external media that don't always get involved at the level that we are, and it's very easy to slate people, but. Even I know people that are still involved at Thames and me, they love the game of football.
Yeah.
Whatever position they're in, however they've got there, they've not done it on purpose.
Yeah,
they've probably been tipping everything that they can out of their pockets and more than that they could afford and putting in the hours. But sometimes life doesn't go as according to plan, and things go wrong.
I think with Thamesmead that the new ground turned out not to be all of what they thought it was going to be with the deal. And I'm going off memory here, so I'm not going to get too specific. I'm going to keep it quite cloudy, but I think that it turned out that it wasn't the deal they thought they were going to get with the new ground. And I think maybe that was the start of the downfall. But people only do things for their club for the right reasons. Sometimes they get stitched up, and I just hope that someone like Nuneaton, if Thamesmead are gone and there is no recovery of it, then it's really sad. Then they've achieved a lot in non-league, and Keith McMahon took them up through the divisions, as we know. And I hope for Nuneaton's sake that someone comes in and invests and takes a club that's in a good level of football. But it'll always happen. The unfortunate thing is that we've watched it. We've been doing this, 13, 14, 15 years? I can't remember, but we've seen it before. And unfortunately, we'll see it again. I just think that it seems to be a little bit less now than it was a few years ago. I don't know why that's rose-tinted glasses on my part, but it's still always sad, isn't it?
It is, and clubs are businesses, but they're also relationships, aren't they? And myself and my missus celebrated 15 years anniversary the other day, and then we looked round and I think we're the only ones that are left. All our mates that got married around the same time. And it's the same with a football club, isn't it? Because you get people coming and going, and different things affect those people's lives, and they can't be involved anymore.
And we touched on it last week as well about newer, younger people getting involved in the running of the clubs. Because that's always worrying when you go back to clubs.
I'm still the youngest in the boardroom.
Yeah. Well, that is a worry, Tim, let me tell you. But yeah, no, and we focus a little bit on it because we have to. There's lots of good going on that we've spoken about as well.
That's pretty much all we've got time for this week. We will sort of keep you up to date with the various comings and goings of the various clubs. A big thank you to Dave for sitting with me here in the studio.
Nice to make it in this week. Last week was good fun trying to get something done, but now it's been good to be in.
And the legs are out despite the rain.
Well, I'm just in a training kit, it looks like. It looks like I'm full time, but I just ducked down to come and see you. But it's good to be in the studio and see you, mate.
Well, a big thank you to yourself, a big thank you to everybody that listens. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Tell your friends too that they can find us every week on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, Alexa as well, and in all good podcast aggregation sites.
I'm going to try that. Before you go, my missus has been given one of these Alexa things as a gift. And it's just taking over the house, basically. You know, it's like, it's funny. So me and Tim were talking about it before. So
you need the TuneIn Radio app, and then you can say, Alexa, play the Non-League Football Show on TuneIn Radio.
There you go. Well,
you can take over Alexa.
That sounds really simple to someone that knows what they're doing. But by this time next week, believe me, it won't have happened.
well, that's your task and your homework for the week. Thank you, everybody, and goodbye.
Jabber, jabber, production. JIBBA. JABBA.